meeting me with her own desperate desire as we lose ourselves in each other. Her hand strokes up my thigh, making me groan into her mouth as she trails it across my hard-on. In warning, I bite down on her lip and she breaks. Her teeth crash into mine as we fight each other, both battling for dominance. I'm so lost in her, I don't even notice her slipping her hand into my boxers where I have my knife clipped until it's pressed against my throat. I roll us over and her knees slip to either side of my hips as she glares down at me, knife poised, pressing to my vulnerable neck. Smirking, I tilt my head back, giving her better access as I watch her. Fuck, she's magnificent! I'll do it, she snarls, her pussy resting against my hard, boxer-clad cock. She's a liar. I can feel how wet she is through the thin fabric. She flicks her grey hair back, observing me like she doesn't know what to do next. My poor little lost bird. Do it, spill my blood. I'll die happily with you on top of me. Fuck, you could even screw me while you're doing it. Just think how hot that would be. I groan, reaching up and gripping her hips, dragging her back and forth across my cock. Her lips part on a moan before she shakes her head and digs the knife in deeper. I feel it slice my skin, a fleck of pain zapping through me. Grunting, I thrust up, making her bounce on me and dig the blade in deeper. She cries out, pulling the knife back as I feel my blood dripping down my throat. It's not enough, I want more. I want her to do whatever the hell she wants. More, I demand. She shakes her head. You're seriously nuts. I smirk, and you love it. The choice is yours, so what are you going to do, little bird? Kill me? You could cut off my hand to get out of this building. You would be free, I wouldn't even fight you. Why? She questions, confused, the knife only resting against my skin. Why not? You said it, I'm crazy. She sits there atop me, debating whether to kill me and escape. She's smart. She's playing it all out in her head. They would come after me. They would kill me for sure then. Maybe, I grin. Or maybe you would escape them. She swallows, staring at me. No, I won't. I won't ever. Ah, now she gets it. No, you won't, but there's your choice, little bird. Run for the rest of your life and hope to escape them, or use that knife for something that ends with us both having a good time. She looks at the knife, tosses it down next to me with a sigh and rolls over, flopping onto her back beside me. Fucking assholes came in and ruined my goddamn life. Did we really? I inquire inquisitively, not bothered if we did. She doesn't look at me, but bites her lower lip. I love my bar. Anything else? You had no real friends, no constant lovers. All you had was the bar. She looks at me then with tears in her eyes. Bars don't hurt you. Bars don't betray you. I loved someone so deeply and he left. He left you? I ask, eyes narrowed at her loving someone other than me. I want to kill him. Would it be too much to hunt him down? She snorts. Well, in a way, but that bastard, she growls, went and fucking died on me. The only fucking person who ever gave a shit if I ate, if I slept, and if I was alive. And he died. Not even my own dad did, and my mother didn't even know I was there. She was too drugged up to care. But Rich, he did. He took me in when I had nothing. He gave me a job, a home, and then he fucking died. Oh, consider her words. He owned the bar. She nods. I was already working there to pay off my dad's debt when I finally got emancipated. I was living on the streets and he noticed. He gave me the place above the bar, paid for the furniture and everything, gave me a job, bartender, then manager. How did he die? I query, prying. At least I don't need to kill him. But I'm still jealous of the love in her voice. She doesn't get to love anyone but us. Cancer, she whispers. Tears rolling down her cheeks before she dashes them away, not letting even that weakness escape her. My brave little bird. It was horrible, so fucking fast. By the time we found out, it was too late. The bastard went and left me the bar without telling me, told me it was my home now. Hoped it gave me a better future than him. Oh, I'm sorry, little bird. And I am. She's been through so much, survived so much. The scars painted across her body and soul. She doesn't realise she's more like us than anyone else.
Maybe I should try and explain.
So even though I've never told anyone, I'll rip open those old wounds, the ones that poisoned me, just so she might understand. My mother was a junkie too. She turns her head and looks at me, her dark eyes glistening with tears. Reaching up, I wipe one away and taste it on my thumb. She cared as long as she could use me, drug me or run or even try to sell me once. But I still loved her. I got taken away from her a lot, put into homes. But I was what they called a troubled youth. I loved her so much. She was my mother. I always ran away and went back. But it meant back to that life. The life that got me locked in juvie for a while. Her eyes watch me intently as I turn and lay my head on my arm, my other hand reaching for her. She doesn't stop me this time as I run it up and down her thigh. When I got out for GBH, she was dead. She gasps. How? My lips purse as I try to push back the rage to speak. Murdered. I figured out she owed a seller too much money and couldn't pay it back, so he called on her. Beat her to within an inch of her life, and while she was still alive, burned down the house with her in it. I got there right after. I tried to get in, to get to her, the smoke choking me, the flames burning me. I held up my hands, flipping them to show her the burns on my palms. I couldn't. I could hear her screaming, though. Despite all the time she had let me down, she was still my mother. For all her faults, I loved her with every fibre of my being. She was my obsession, my only family.
Diesel, she whispers.
I chased him down, you know. I was so angry that night, watching the flames swallow her, that I finally let go. I'd held back for so long, pushing away my anger, all the darkness writhing within me. That night I stopped fighting it, I let it consume me. I hunted him across the city.
How old were you?
She asks. 17. I found him, knocked him out, and dragged him to an old abandoned warehouse. When he woke up, I made him pay. Repeatedly. I let everything out on him, and for the first time, I knew what it felt like to be free. To be me. To feel bones crack under my hands, and blood spray across me. But it wasn't enough. I needed him to feel the same pain she did. So I doused him and set him on fire and watched. And guess what? It still wasn't enough. I wanted more. Like that fire, I needed more. I'm fucked up, I'm crazy, I know it. Never thought I would find a place to fit in. Then I found these guys and they are just as fucked up as I am, though they hide it better. We all know what it means to be lost, to be alone, little bird. But together? Together we're stronger. We shed that life, like a snake sheds its skin,
and became the vipers.
She finishes, sighing.
Fuck, why did you tell me? It makes it harder to hate you.
Because you really don't hate us, and you're looking for reasons not to. There's one. Yes, I'm a monster, little bird. I love people's pain. I love my job. I enjoy killing people and making them suffer. I love protecting my family, and I do it all for them. And now you.
Me? You barely know me, she murmurs.
I know enough. You are one of us now. I will protect you like them. You entered a den of vipers, little bird. You choose whether to remain as our prey or shed and become a predator. Choose wisely. Not everyone is invited inside. In fact, no one is. Live or die.
But why me? She demands. And don't say a date. You could have killed me and been through with it.
Because, little bird, that night, the night your dad handed you over without a fight, we saw the same thing in you that's in all of us. Garrett doesn't even know why he saved you, I think. Ryder lies to himself, says it's business. Kenzo plays it like it's a game, keeping everything to his chest. But I see it. The moment your dad gave you up, you became like us. Another lost soul, another viper in search of a home. We all started with nothing, no one, and now look where we are. A family. A broken, fucked up family, but a family nonetheless. That would kill before they let anyone take you. Think on that. Leaning down, I kiss her softly and she sighs. Good night, little bird. You can keep the knife. Think of me every time you use it. But know if you use it on us, on my brothers, I'll have to kill you. I might even enjoy it. With that, I slip from the bed and walk away. Diesel, she calls and I stop. You're right, I want to hate you, but honestly, I'm hurt. Hurt. My dad could give me away so easily. I shouldn't be surprised, but I guess I always wanted to see the good in him. Then you came and gave me people to aim that hate at, but I see it too. The ghosts in your eyes, they match mine, and I hate that more because it means... Her words trail off, voice quiet. It means you're like us. I nod, looking over my shoulder at her. A snake. I shut the door. She won't come after me and she won't escape tonight, I know that now. Even if she doesn't. She's home, and she's finally starting to understand it. Maybe she will still fight, but if she didn't, it wouldn't be as much fun. I can't wait to watch her rip the others to pieces, to get into their cold hearts like she has mine. We will all burn together. Because of one woman. Our woman. 19. Ryder. I heard about Roxanne and Kenzo. It ran through my head all night as I stared at the words on my screen. I haven't slept, how could I? My mind is whirling. Will she destroy us? Will she be the end of us? Should I have killed her? Should I now? All that is compounded with the answers we don't have. Even Donald didn't know who the hitter was. He suspects he was an illegal, which means forged papers to get here. But for someone to hire him to afford those services, they're more than a disgruntled casino owner like Declan. Sighing, my mind travels in circles as I drop my head into my hands. I have too many questions and not enough answers. My dad's words come to me, even though I hate it. Find the answers, do what it takes, play dirty. He was a bastard, a shit father and an even worse husband. But he was a hell of a business owner. The first thing I did was take all his businesses. It made sense. He's right, find answers. I'm thinking too much like a businessman. Think like a viper. I'll need to find the person who made the papers, which will lead me to a money trail. Even when they try to stop it, there's always a money trail. Then we find the hitter before he tries to end one of us again. With Roxanne, the triad, and now the assassin, our plate is full. I feel like I'm losing control and I don't know how to get it back. I saw Kenzo's face last night after he fucked her. He was lost. I've seen that expression in his eyes before. He's a dreamer, unlike me, a lover. He might have won that hand against her, but there is a whole tournament. And Roxanne doesn't even know she's playing for the highest stakes. Not her life. Her heart. My brother wants it. It means she's fair game now. Maybe that's my fault for crossing that line in the elevator, but I couldn't help myself. The issue is, do I want to play? Do I want her? My cock says yes, but my mind says no. She's trouble. We can't afford any more trouble. Someone needs to stay clear-headed where she's concerned, so no, I can't. Standing, I make my way up the elevator to our apartment above our business. This old building was once my father's pride and joy. I relished it, took great pleasure in tearing it down and rebuilding it to our specifications. I head inside, the early morning light illuminating the living room, which is empty. I go upstairs, take a shower and get ready for the day. I have so much to do and no time for sleep. One issue at a time. Today I need to find the forger. I'll put out some calls over breakfast and hope to hear back. While I wait, I'll approach the triad again. They have been reluctant to give us an answer. Like always, I put on my suit, ready to face the day. Appearance is important, and a suit radiates power. Before I can even open my mouth, I'm telling them I'm not someone to be fucked with. By the time I'm dressed and downstairs, Roxanne is already in her seat with the others around her. Kenzo is smirking at her, running his eyes across her angry face. Diesel is cutting up a steak with a knife, and Garrett is glaring at the table. So, the usual. Taking my seat, I observe them as I fill my plate and pour my tea. We have things to do today.
When don't you? Do you ever take a day off? Roxanne asks.
She seems to be doing that a lot. For someone who doesn't like us or want to be here, she asks a lot of questions. No, I offer, before reaching over and pouring her coffee when Kenzo seems too entranced by her breasts in the low-cut shirt to do so. Crossing my legs, I hide my own hardening cock. Does she even know what she's doing to us? Walking around in those outfits? Daring us to touch. Brat. As I was saying, I hand her the cup and she seems surprised. I need you to put out inquiries for a forger. He would be good, probably the best. When Kenzo doesn't answer me, I narrow my eyes. Brother, pay attention. As lovely as Roxanne's chest is, we have business to deal with.
Her chest is nice. Diesel nods seriously. Though I'm an ass man, a lot more places to cut, you know?
Thrilling, I deadpan as Kenzo laughs. Forger, find one.
I know one.
Roxanne shrugs, making us all look at her in surprise. She snorts.
I own a dive bar, remember? I know nearly every criminal in the city, plus they all like to keep me happy, so I'll keep the alcohol flowing. It's the one place they don't have to worry about being arrested.
You know a forger? One good enough to make papers for a would-be illegal assassin? I question, arching my eyebrow.
Yes, Ethel, I was going to tell you, but now I don't think I will,
she snaps, making Dee laugh, and even Garrett smirks. Fine, I'm sorry, Roxanne. That was rude. I sigh, forcing the words out through clenched teeth. She grins, and I warn her with my eyes not to push it.
Okay, yes, I know someone like that. He's a regular, sometimes picks up clients in my bar. I've overheard him before, and he's highly recommended. I'll tell you. On one condition.
Which is, I drawl.
You take me with you.
She states seriously. No, I bark.
But that wasn't what I was expecting.
I was thinking money, jewels, clothes, anything. She constantly surprises me.
Then you don't get the name. He wouldn't talk to you anyway without me there. He might be the fearsome vipers, but he's beyond that. He's all about who you know, and you don't know him.
She grins, knowing she has me. Why? Why do you want to go? I inquire earnestly. If it's to escape, I can't do that. I would have to punish her then. And I honestly want to stay as far away from her as I can, since she already tests my control. Laying hands on her again would be a mistake.
I'm bored in this fucking apartment. At least that way I get to do something.
She reasons as she takes a bite of her omelette and groans.
This is fucking good. Come on, Rye, what's the worst that can happen?
Kenzo laughs. We'll all go, that way she can't try and escape or anything.
You said we need this guy, guess that's how we get him.
Balling my fists, I count backwards in my head, trying to rein in my control. I hate rushed plans. I hate it when an unexpected, unpredictable element is thrown in. And Roxanne? She's unpredictable. I've reached out to the triad and I'm waiting for an answer. The other families deny all knowledge of the hit, I snarl.
Then it's them.
Diesel nods seriously. Let's go kill them. Wait, it might not be. We don't exactly have a short list of enemies. And making a move now, hitting them, would be a mistake. We're not prepared, and if we can keep them on our side, then we need to do it. Another will only pop up in their place, and I'd rather deal with the devil we know than the one we don't. We're waiting for Roxanne to get dressed. She seemed excited. I guess being locked up in a penthouse, even with all the luxuries, is not her thing. She wants adventure. She wants stimulation. I can understand that. But it doesn't mean I'm happy to let her come with us. But if that's the only way we can get to the forger, I would be a fool to ignore that advantage. He's right, we wait and see. They aren't going anywhere. Let's deal with this assassin first. Garrett nods, the voice of reason among the chaos.
Okay. Oh, we should check on Roxy's bar,
Diesel adds. Sighing, I look towards the hallway to make sure she isn't spying. I already did. There's a new bartender, someone we trust. He's opening and closing it, keeping an eye on it for her, making sure it doesn't get destroyed.
All the money is being dropped into her account.
Kenzo whistles, a smirk on his lips.
Guess that means you see her as more than a debt.
It was a simple thing, not much work, and I thought it might make her less likely to attack us.
Uh-oh, he says. Sure, tell yourself that, big brother, if it helps you sleep.
I narrow my eyes, but don't answer as Roxanne comes down the hallway. My mouth drops open slightly. Fuck, why did I buy her new clothes? I shouldn't have bought any. Then she would have to walk around naked.
The dress is a black one Garrett picked out, and it's skin tight, showing off all her curves with her sexy as hell tattoos peeking through. The jacket is something that one of the guys must have snuck in. It's leather and has spikes across the shoulders, and when she turns slightly, I notice the viper on the back. Smooth.
She looks hot as hell and dangerous, especially with the purple lipstick and dark makeup around her eyes.
Makeup I picked out.
Her hair is in loose waves, and honestly, I'm speechless. She always looks beautiful, but today? Today she looks like a viper.
A glance at the others just in time to see Diesel leaning back on his chair, craning his neck to try and get a look at her ass. But he tips too far and goes flying with a yelp. She looks over at the crash, noticing him on the floor and smirks.
Falling for me already, D.
D. She called him D. Jealousy pours through me. She uses his nickname. I expected her to be terrified of him. We kept warning her away, but here she is, looking at him in amusement, and calling him D. Standing, I draw her attention to me, trying to ignore my own foolish feelings.
Good, let's go, I order, beginning to stride away.
I stop next to her, lowering my head, unable to help myself.
You look good enough to eat.
She blinks in shock as I walk off, checking my weapons at the door as I wait for the others.
She looks around us, checking our guns and knives, and doesn't seem surprised as she tracks where we holster them.
Can I have my gun?
No,
I almost snarl.
You don't need it. We'll look after you.
Can I have my bat? I'll promise not to use it on Garrett's junk again.
She offers sweetly, making him snort.
No, he replies.
She sighs dramatically, but then smiles.
One sec.
With that, she dashes off to her room before coming back a minute later, tossing a knife in the air.
Where the hell did she get that?
Diesel laughs.
That's my girl. Come on, little bird, it's time to play.
He drapes his arm across her shoulders as she tucks it into her jacket pocket and looks to me. I can't move, though, too busy staring at them.
At how close their bodies are.
At how comfortable they seem.
It's worse than I thought.
What am I going to do?
Nothing for now. We have other things to deal with, but I need to make a decision later on.
Before Roxanne gets in too deep and has the power to crumble all we have worked for.
Let's go. Ripping open the door, I stomp away, aware I'm acting irrational. So I push all those emotions down, using the time we wait for the elevator to become cold again, wrapping a layer of unfeeling ice across me. When the ding sounds and the doors open, I'm me again. Since my car was wrecked and I'm waiting on a replacement, I decide to take the SUV. We can all fit. Garrett climbs into the driver's seat while I get in the passenger side. Kenzo and Diesel slide in and trap Roxanne in the middle seat, not that she seems to mind. She relaxes back, but threatens to stab Kenzo if he touches her thigh again. He only laughs. Sometimes others wonder how Kenzo fits with us. Well, I don't. He hides his crazy well.
Where to? Garrett asks in general, not looking at Roxanne.
So I peer over my shoulder at her. Head south, go past the theatre area and into the slums. Stop us at Deckley Bridge, you can't miss it. There's graffiti all over the side, right next to an abandoned steel mill,
she explains. Turning forward, I pull out my phone, ignoring them all as I catch up on emails and messages. I could have our guards meet us at the location, but with all four of us, there's no point. Roxanne must be thinking along the same line.
Do you four have bodyguards? You're worth a lot of money, right?
We have security, I murmur distractedly. Over 75 personnel spread across the city, our assets and homes. We instructed them not to let you see them. Usually they would be coming with us, but when all four of us go out, these three act as security. No one knows they are in charge, since I'm the face of the operation. So it makes sense I would bring security.
Why act like security? She inquires.
That way only Ryder has to worry about being the main target. They don't care about us. We're just fodder.
Means we hear more as well, Kenzo answers.
Well, doesn't that make you worry about having a target on your back all the time? She asks,
leaning forward as we pull from the underground parking structure. No, it's my job, I reply, thumbing out a response to an email before pocketing my phone. Sit back, seatbelt on, I order.
So this man we're going to see, Kenzo starts.
Just let me do the talking, okay? He hates outsiders and is a rude bastard.
Even to you, he questions, especially to me. It's his way of showing he likes you. Plus, if you haven't noticed, I'm a rude bitch. We get along famously.
She laughs. Want me to kill him? Diesel queries cheerfully.
I look back in time to see her roll her eyes and pat his chest. No, and if I wanted him dead, I would kill him myself.
That's hot. He nods seriously. Can I watch?
Rubbing my temples, I sigh loudly, knowing it's going to be a long day.
Luckily, we managed to avoid a lot of traffic, and other than Diesel's loud off-key singing, they are quiet the rest of the drive. Pulling up outside the bridge, I slip from the car, checking my piece before looking around. The others flip to security mode straight away, eyes sharp and bodies tense as they look around. Garrett goes first, me and Roxanne behind him, and Kenzo and Diesel in the rear. You can never be too careful after all. Placing a palm on Roxanne's back, I guide her along as we walk.
Where now?
Side alley, there's a steel door.
She informs us seriously, obviously sensing the tension.
Outside of our house, this is how we have to be. We can only relax there.
The stakes are too high to let our guard down, even for one moment.
We head that way, ignoring the homeless and the needles scattered everywhere. After all, we came from these streets. We're as comfortable here as we are in penthouses and mansions, probably more so.
Not that Roxanne knows that.
She pushes past us and Garrett, who tries to grab her, before leaping up two stairs and hammering on the solid steel door.
Hey, Asa, it's your favourite bitch, open up!
She hollers.
I raise my eyebrows, but a few minutes later a latch opens in the door, revealing two bright blue eyes.
The fuck do you want, shitface?
She pops out her hip, rolling her eyes.
To screw your brains out, obviously.
She deadpans and all of us ruffle.
Now let me in, Wankstein.
I hear him chuckle before the latch slams shut and the door is ripped open.
I've got to say, the guy who steps out is not what I was expecting. He's massive, as big as Garrett, with arms to crush skulls. His head is shaved and covered in tattoos, his shirt stretching across his chest. He glances at us and narrows his eyes, his voice deep and rumbling as he questions. Who are they?
Friends for now. Are you going to let us in or am I going to have to stand here while you fucking measure each other's cocks?
She taunts.
He sighs, a smile curling his lips as he looks down at her.
She's tiny in comparison, but you wouldn't know from her attitude.
You know mine is bigger than yours. We measured last time.
Yeah, well, you cheated, Tony, so let me in.
She pushes past him and he follows after her. Garrett looks back at me, so I nod.
We troop inside, and as I slam the door shut behind me, I see her waiting at the bottom of some industrial stairs.
The room is small, just a landing, and when I glance back, I realise there are cameras here, an automatic locking system, and a huge shotgun resting next to the door. Satisfied we're following, she starts up the stairs. We trail behind her, my eyes locked on her peachy ass as she takes the steps two at a time. She seems to know where she's going, and when we get to the next story, she heads to the left through another door and into the warehouse. The room is massive, and the guys split up to check it out for anyone else or hiding spots. I stand there and wait as she heads right to the sofas in the middle of the room and flops down, her legs stretched out over one. They are old and red, but she seems comfy enough. Next to her is an impressive setup. Four computer monitors all turned inward with a huge chair, which is no doubt meant for Tiny. In the back corner under the windows is a bed on the floor and a wardrobe. To the right is an armory with guns, knives, and even a fucking rocket launcher. She wasn't kidding when she said she knew people. Tiny steps past me and smacks her legs down as he throws himself into his chair. She sticks her tongue out at him and puts them back up.
So what's up, shitface? Heard you disappeared. Family emergency? He mocks.
She rolls her eyes. I told them no one would believe that. I bristle, thinking we're going to have to kill this man. But she carries on regardless.
Just taking some time away from the bar, lying low.
You in trouble? He asks, leaning forward.
Bitch, when ain't I? She laughs. Nothing I can't handle, but I do need a favour.
He sighs.
Of course you do.
Fucker, you still owe me from last time when we woke up on that barge. Don't whine now when you've got to pay up.
Just how close are these two?
I narrow my eyes at her and head her way, perching on the arm of her sofa as the others complete their circuit of the room.
Tiny keeps his eyes on them, and on the computer screens. I'll spot a CCTV section, open to show the whole warehouse. Fine, what the fuck do you want? He snaps.
She seems undisturbed by his rudeness, picking her nails with her new knife as she lounges.
Why can't she be this comfortable with us?
I want to smash his face in before I remember we need him.
She said to let her do the talking, but I interrupt anyway. I need to track someone who bought papers from you.
His face locks down as he swings his massive head and glares at Roxanne.
Girl, who the fuck are these guys? You been telling them shit about me? He reaches under his desk, so I grab my gun and lay it across my lap casually as a warning. His eyes narrow, but he stops reaching for the weapon. The fuck you want, man?
Roxanne sighs and sits up. Put your fucking gun away, she snaps at me and looks to Tiny. A favour, like I said.
What's it worth?
Free drinks for a year on the house,
she offers, and the room goes silent. Make it two and you've got a deal.
He extends his hand and she shakes it.
Next time, don't fucking bring the asshole, stupid bitch.
He looks over my shoulder and I follow his gaze to Diesel, who's playing with grenades in his armory.
Don't touch my shit.
Diesel smirks and backs away, but I see him pocket a grenade.
Great.
Turning back to Tiny, I watch him spin to face his computer.
Who are they, anyway? Some sort of male harem that follows you around? Exactly.
Diesel calls, before flinging himself down next to Roxanne and grinning.
A harem. Brave man,
Tiny mutters. Okay, who are we looking for?
Brave how?
Diesel grins.
Well, last month I saw her almost cut someone's dick off with a piece of broken glass bottle he threw at her when she broke his heart. I'm just saying, you're brave bastards.
Tiny laughs. I look at her, raise my eyebrow, and she just shrugs. He was rude. Plus, that was one time. Okay, maybe more than once, but honestly, people with dicks always think they know best and can act like they own you. I remind them that vaginas are stronger than dicks, as ours are inside and yours hang out, ready to be chopped off.
I cross my legs and wince for the man, even as Diesel laughs hysterically. Feel free to cut mine off, little bird.
Tiny turns, looking at Roxanne.
That one ain't right in the head.
Tell me about it, she nods, leaning forward as Diesel starts to play with her hair. Okay, guy would have been overseas. What else?
She looks to me then, and I clear my throat. Male, under 40, black hair. A hitter. Would have needed ways to get arms as well, namely a sniper rifle. He would have been in the life.
I know he knows what I mean when his face clouds.
Not a local one, one you've never seen. Expensive.
He whistles.
Better make it 3 years if I'm crossing that bastard.
So you remember him?
She asks excitedly. Fuck yeah, dude was an asshole. Paid well though, wanted it in half the time.
Tiny nods.
Do you know who employed him, or do you have any details on him, I inquire?
This is the closest we have come to not only finding the man, but the people behind him. Tiny debates for a second before looking at Roxanne.
I want the top shelf shit, bitch,
he demands, before turning to his computer and starting to type.
I run checks on everyone when they walk through that door, whether they know it or not. You're right. He's German, a freelancer, no ties.
Good, too.
One of the best, apart from that one up north and his crew.
Donald,
I nod. Yeah, that one. Someone was paying him a lot of fucking money, that's for sure. They really wanted you dead. He went out once to accept a call. I have the recording.
He loaded it up, and we all lean in to listen. A German-accented voice comes through the speakers. It will be done tonight, then I leave the city. I want double. You did not tell me the man you wanted killed were the man who runs this town.
It goes quiet for a moment.
I don't care about your squabble or reach for power. Double or I walk.
It cuts off. Squabble? I murmur. It has to be the triads. But without proof, I can't go for them immediately.
I'll need to find the hitter.
Thank you, Tiny.
I nod, standing.
I hand over a wad of cash and he whistles and looks at Roxanne. Your harem has deep pockets. You sure you're all right, bitch? he asks seriously, and we all stiffen. Now would be our chance. It would be a shame to kill him, but we will if we have to. I palm my gun and notice Garrett sneaking up behind the man, but I shake my head, waiting to see what she will do. She looks at us, noticing we're waiting for her answer, ready to react. Her eyes narrow. Nah, I'm fine. Like I said, just lying low. Take care, cockface. She gets to her feet, and I can feel the surprise written across my face. When she steps near me, she grabs my hand holding the gun, which is concealed. I did that to save him. Don't go thinking otherwise. I almost snorted her defense. She's made her choice. She's ours. She goes to walk past us, and I step closer to Tiny, whose eyes narrow. I glance back to see her walking away. Then I nod at Kenzo, who crosses behind the man, his gun drawn. I draw my own again and press it to his head. He might be huge, but I've taken down bigger and more powerful men than this. You ever call her bitch or insult her again, and I pull this trigger. Do you understand me? I murmur, my voice low and deadly. Ryder, Roxanne protests. But I ignore her as Garrett and Kenzo circle the man, their faces cold. They might not agree on what to do with her, but at the end of the day, she's ours. No one insults her. I press the nuzzle harder to his head, and his hands rise, his breathing becoming heavy. Do we understand each other? Yes! Fuck yes! He yells as Garrett cracks his knuckles. Good. Now you won't tell anyone we were here, or I'll send the crazy bastard and the big bastard back to speak to you. I don't care if Roxanne trusts you, I don't trust anyone. I snarl. Got it, shit, okay, man, Tiny protests. Putting my gun away, I tuck it back into my holster and nod at the others. Good, let's go. I can't believe you did that, Roxanne hisses, smacking my arm. Peering down at her, I stop my lips from curling into a smile. She's so brave. I'll do worse to protect what's mine. Remember that, love, I whisper before pressing my hand to her back and leading her from the room. I was wrong. They're all crazy, I hear Tiny mutter, making me smirk. 20. Garrett. Taking the lead, we troop back downstairs. I keep my hand on my gun just in case. Like always, I go through the door first, looking each way before scanning the rooftops and letting the others out. Roxy tries to stomp away, but I circle my arm around her waist and toss her back to Ryder. Someone out there is trying to kill us, and they don't care who gets caught in the crossfire. But I refuse to let it be her. I hear her arguing before a smack sounds and she yelps. You spank me again, buddy, and I'll chop off your hand and give it a D. I grin at that, even as I keep my eyes peeled, scanning everything as we walk. I don't like it, it doesn't feel right. As we cross the road, the hairs on the back of my neck rise. Clicking open my holster, I palm my gun. The others must notice because they go quiet, and I feel them move in closer behind me, their own weapons undoubtedly drawn. Putting my back to the wall, I scan the surrounding area, and my eyes catch on a glint from the opposite alley just as they start shooting. Grabbing Roxy, I slam her to the wall behind us and place my back to her front as I take aim and fire back. The others surround her, protecting her as they shoot. The shots are going wide, so these aren't hitters. This is sloppy and desperate. One comes way too close, though, so blowing out of breath, I narrow my eyes and fire, watching the man go down with a scream. Two more sounds of bullets finding their homes drift to us, and the shooting stops. Breathing evenly, I scan the area for any more hitters. Roxy is grabbing onto my back, but I ignore her as I keep watch. Gat! She yells before putting my second gun from the base of my spine. I turn just in time to see her take aim and fire at a man creeping up on my left, obviously hiding and waiting for us at the car. She hits him dead between the eyes, but she fires again and again. The bullets hit him in the chest as he jerks and goes down. I look at her, my eyebrows raised. Her eyes are round, her breathing coming in short bursts, and her face is pale. But when she looks at me, she nods and hands back the gun. I shake my head. Keep it for now. She blinks before a small smile curves her lips, and then she clicks on the safety and keeps it next to her leg. Let's go, I bark. I don't want to be caught in the open again. I've already texted the chief, he'll cover this up. Kenzo offers as I grab Rox's hand and stride past the person she killed. I open the car and push her inside before making sure the others get in. Only when they're inside and safe do I round the hood, gun still drawn, and leap into the driver's seat.
Putting the gun on the console, I rev the engine and get the hell out of there. Once we're a few blocks away, I relax my hands on the wheel, but don't stop checking in case anyone followed us. How the fuck did they know we were there? Did Tiny betray her? No, we wouldn't have had enough time, which means... someone followed us. Ryder sighs, obviously coming to the same conclusion. Yup, I snarl. Probably from the building. They weren't professionals, though. It was rushed. They took their opportunity. I smash my fists into the wheel. That was sloppy, but too close, especially with Roxy there. My eyes go to the mirror and lock on hers in the back seat. Killing someone for the first time is hard. It takes a piece of you. A piece I'm used to, but she probably isn't. She's used to dealing with bad people, but there is a difference between kicking ass with a bat and shooting someone. Her head is on Kenzo's shoulder, who drops a kiss there. Her other hand is held in Diesel's, who is playing with it as he watches her. But her eyes are locked on me. They aren't scared or even concerned. They are calm. You did good, and not thank you. She saved my ass. Why? She hates us, hates that we stole her. She could have easily let me die, but instead she took her life to save mine. She smiles softly, those lips I'm obsessed with curling up. You're welcome. Nice gun, by the way. I'm going to call it Killer. I snort, unable to help myself. No one names their guns. Ahem. Diesel coughs. Okay, no one's saying does. I laugh. I notice Ryder is on his phone, no doubt conversing with security at the building and the police. I want CCTV from around the building. Find out who they were. Go to the office and get their prints and identities from the police. I want security doubled. We're going into lockdown. Someone wants us dead. Hire more men if you need to. I'll leave him to it. He's good at his job. Mine is to keep us alive. But his is to make all the plans. So I focus on driving, ignoring the speed limit. No one would dare pull us over. I'm hungry, Roxy whines. Ryder hangs up and looks over at her. We'll be home soon. The fact that she doesn't question the word home sends something soft through me that I want to squash. But I can't seem to when she's around.
But Ryder, I'm hungry too.
Diesel complains, and then Kenzo joins in. Ryder sighs, pinching his nose like he's getting a headache, and I can't help but laugh. This must be killing him. She's throwing all his perfect plans and control out of the window. I might dislike her because of what she represents and because I can't stop thinking about her. But Ryder? Ryder will hate her because she's his weakness. We could stop at Rizzo's, I suggest. Red might know something about the hit anyway, and if anyone is waiting for us, they would expect us to head straight home to regroup. A shrug. Ryder looks at me incredulously. Not you two. I like their burgers. I grin, and he sighs, knowing he's defeated. Fine, we go through the back, though, he warns. And I nod, checking the mirrors before changing lanes and heading to the upscale Italian place run by an ex-assassin. He's also the guy who taught me how to fight. A good, trustworthy man. Ryder doesn't trust anyone with our lives or business, and he's the only man who comes close to knowing any of it, meaning he's someone we trust with part of our lives. I don't head to the front entrance, but around the alley out back. I get out first, checking it over before opening the back door and letting Diesel and Roxy tumble out. Staying close, knowing she's the most likely to panic in a situation, I lay my hand on her back and steer her to the back door, which Ryder is opening. He lets us in first, and Diesel takes up the rear. We only relax once it slams shut. Putting my gun away, I keep my hand on Roxy to keep her close in case anything happens. That's what I tell myself anyway. I poke my head around the kitchen door as we pass it, grinning when I spot Red barking orders. Hey, old man, got room for us? He glances over, the snarl on his face transforming into a wide, crooked grin. His bald head gleams under the light, and his huge, scarred, tattooed body is encased in a chef's jacket and trousers.
Garrett, my boy, always!
He heads my way, enclosing me in a big bear hug before pulling away and smiling at the others. Then his eyes catch on Roxy and widen. He whistles.
Well, holy hell, who's the beauty?
Roxy smirks and pushes past me. I'm Roxy. These assholes kidnapped me. She offers casually and shakes his hand. He laughs, a booming one that's familiar.
I like her, keep her, he tells me,
making me roll my eyes.
Well, come on then, let's feed you.
He guides us down the hallway past the toilets into a swinging door that leads to the restaurant. Heading through, I keep Roxy between myself and the rest of the patrons.
Not that they would dare make a move. Half the rich people who come here don't know who Red really is. The other half do and fear him. But not as much as they fear us. Though looking around today, it seems like most of them are assassins. You can tell by their sharp eyes and taut bodies, never relaxing. Growing up around the mix, it's easy for me to recognize. But in here, it's a safe zone. No hits, no confrontation. Just a place to relax and eat. We are led to our table at the back, sectioned off from the others behind a screen to offer us some privacy. Seeing as though we bought this place and gave it to him as a present, a request from me, he lets us eat here for free whenever we want. It helps as well that most of his customers are still in the life and he can glean information for us. Diesel slides into the booth first, and then Roxy. Kenzo goes to sit next to her, but I beat him to it. Unsure why, as I slip into the booth and it crinkles under my weight. Kenzo smirks, but takes the seat next to me without a word. Roxy hesitates, unsure where to put her gun, so I lean closer in the booth. I'll get you a holster. For now, I'll hold it, okay? She nods and passes it over with a
thank you.
Our fingers catch as I take the gun and desire surges through me. Ignoring it, I put the revolver in the holster and look away, my face taut. Ryder sits, unbuttoning his jacket, and grabs the napkin and places it on his lap as he looks around. His back is to the room. Another power play. Even when we're relaxing. I nod to let him know I'm keeping watch. Diesel scoots closer to Roxy and leans in.
The cake here is to die for. Literally, I killed someone for a slice once.
She laughs, and I wonder if she thinks he's joking. I'll fight you for it, she retorts. Ah, so maybe not.
What you want, boy?
Red asks, passing a menu to Roxy, who opens it and groans.
Fuck, I could eat everything, she mutters.
Looking down, I run my eyes over her tiny, curvy body. And put it where? Your attitude? I snort. Her head jerks up and her eyes narrow on me.
I will get my bat on you again,
she hisses, making me laugh. She smiles back and I shake my head. I look up to see everyone gawking at me in shock. Eyes narrowing and laughter stopping, I glare at them all as they glance between her and me. Ryder's lips tip up in a tiny smile before it disappears. Red grins at me.
Good to see you laugh again, boy.
I want to die.
All right, hit me. What you want, and I don't mean just food.
He nods, grabbing a chair and spinning it around to sit on it backwards. Ryder sighs, leaning back in his chair. It seems we have become a target. Can you see what you can find? There's a professional after us, a German, and it seems some sloppy second-rate hitters now. Red's eyebrows rise.
You've been busy. Who've you pissed off now?
Everyone. Diesel answers with a grin, and Red releases another booming laugh.
All right, I'll see what I can find. You think they are connected? He queries.
I shrug. Could be. Someone paid a lot for the German.
When he didn't complete it, maybe they got annoyed and hired some local thugs.
Red nods.
All right, now, what you want to eat? The usual?
Please, Ryder replies. And Red looks to Roxy, who's threatening Diesel with a knife. Sighing, I pluck it from her hand and pass her my bigger one. At least use this if you're going to stab him.
What you want to eat, cutie?
Red questions. And I narrow my eyes on him in warning. Don't even think about it, she's ours, I snap, jealousy roaring through me. Red smirks. And I know he did it on purpose. Asshole.
I'll have a double bacon cheeseburger with cheesy fries, garlic bread and wedges.
She grins at him. He jolts back his hand over his heart.
You sure she's yours? Can't I have her?
Diesel's face darkens. Fuck. I reach over just as he goes to throw himself across the table at the man. Laughing, Red stands up.
All right, I'll stop fucking with you and get your order in.
Pushing Diesel back, I shake my head and sip my water. That guy is going to get us killed one day, attacking an assassin like that. Hell, Diesel is an assassin in his own right, but even the bastards here stay away from him because he's too crazy. I look over to see Roxy patting Dee's chest like a dog.
Good boy, I'll share my cake if you don't kill anyone all the way through dinner.
But what if they need killing?
He asks, frowning at her.
Then let Garrett do it,
she suggests sweetly. Dee sighs dramatically and slumps.
Fine, little bird. Only because you asked so nicely.
She leans back, looking smug as Ryder just stares at her. How the hell did she get him to do what she wants?
We have been trying for years, and I have the scars to prove it. Yet one bat of those eyelashes and he's behaving like a fucking normal person.
So, what's your next move? She queries, playing with the straw in her water.
We hand them down, whoever we can find first, and give them to D.
Ryder smirks, a full-fledged nasty one.
If we can't find them, we hunt their families, their children, their wives.
We destroy their lives until they come out of hiding, then we kill them.
Make an example of them. Remind people what happens when you come after a viper.
She nods like she expected that. If you let me have a phone, I can make a few calls. Those types of people are usually at Roxas, so someone might have heard something. Ryder watches her curiously.
And why are you continuing to help us, love?
She sighs. Because it's better than dying. I'm never getting free of you fuckers, so it seems I'm along for the ride. And I really like being alive, so let me help. I ain't just a pretty face. He watches her for a moment, contemplating her words, before passing her his phone.
My eyes widen. He doesn't even let me touch his phone. It's like his Bible.
But he passes it over, and she thumbs in a number and waits as it rings, her fingers drumming on the table.
Someone must pick up because she smirks.
Is that any way to greet me? She says, and then I hear a mumble through the phone. Yeah, yeah, I don't care how late you were up sucking dick. I need a favour.
It goes quiet and she snorts.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Right, some lowlives had a shootout today near Tiny's. Can you find out who and where they are now?
It goes quiet and I can hear typing in the background before Roxy grins.
That's your price? Bitch, you know I ain't going out with your brother again. Last time he took me to a brothel.
She laughs and waits as we all stare. A brothel? Who is this girl?
Yes, thanks, girl. See you around.
She hangs up and looks at us, eyebrow raised.
They're gangbangers, round the Death Eaters on the south side. Small but scary bastards. If they are coming after you, they have been hired for sure. They only work for money. You can find them over at the abandoned newspaper factory near the water. They will have dogs on guard, though, and there's around 40 of them.
She slides the phone across the table and sips her water casually.
And one of you has to go out on a date with her brother. Probably to a brothel.
21. Roxy. Diesel laughs so hard that he has to dab his eyes with a napkin. I nominate Garrett, he smirks. Fuck off, the big guy snarls back. Ryder ignores them all, focusing on his phone like always. I can't help but watch him. He's so graceful, so refined, so cold. Like snow. But snow is beautiful, and when it melts, it reveals all that's hidden underneath. Need to piss, Diesel tells us, before slipping from the booth, and not a moment later, Kenzo slides into his spot next to me. He'll kill you, I warn him with a shrug, leaning back and meeting Kenzo's dark eyes. He slicks his hair back, a smile curling those lips, and a flash of heat goes through me, remembering how good they've felt against my pussy. His eyes dilate like he knows what I'm thinking about. Behave, darling. I am, I argue, even as my eyes drift back to his lips. We haven't spoken about what happened, but honestly, I don't think we need to. We both had aggression we needed to get out. Hell, I still hate them, but I'm tired of fighting this need, the need to have them, to feel that power. I know I've told myself before, but I'm not ever getting free, so why not have some fun on the way? They have a way of dragging you into their world and consuming you with it, and I find myself smack dab in the middle, and I'm loving it. Kenzo leans closer, his finger going to my chin as he leans down, almost pressing his lips to mine. Feeling needy, darling. Afraid we can't fight in here. He licks my lips before moving away and turning my head. I let him, and my eyes clash with Ryder's cold ones. He's watching us carefully, his face empty, but below that frost, I see something. A spark. One he's trying to hide. Kenzo doesn't care. He runs his lips down my neck and across my thrumming pulse. My lips part on a gasp as I try to shift slightly away, but I bump into Garrett, so I shift back and Kenzo presses closer. The room is filled with chatter, laughter, and the clinking of forks on plates. But all I can hear is my own heart as he teases me. The asshole. His hand lands on my thigh under the table and strokes upward along my leg, getting higher and higher as he nips my neck. Eyes still on Ryder, I shift again, trying to ignore my throbbing pussy. Licking along my neck, he starts to nibble on my ear as he parts my thighs and presses his hand to my wet knickers, the dress giving him full access. "I can feel how wet you are," he murmurs darkly, his voice hungry. "I bet if I slipped my fingers into your tight little cunt, you would come for me, wouldn't you?" "You wouldn't dare," I snap, trying to act tough. But as soon as the words leave my lips, I realize what I've done. Laid down a challenge. To a man who thrives on gambling and bets. Fuck. Ryder's lips turn up slightly, like he knows what's going to happen. Leaning back in his chair, his phone forgotten on the table, he stares at me. No doubt noting the rise and fall of my chest, my parted lips, and the blush staining my cheeks and creeping down my neck. Arm draped across his chair, legs parted, he sits there waiting, like he's watching the fucking theater. And I'm the act. Kenzo pulls away for a moment, and I glance over at him in surprise. He doesn't seem like the type to back down, but then he's there, the glint of a blade flashing under the lights before it presses against my knicker-clad pussy. I freeze, barely breathing, and he laughs in my ear. "They're in the way," he growls, before slicing them off. I gasp loudly as cool air blows across my wet center. I watch him tuck the knife and my underwear in his pocket before his hand is stroking up my thigh again. I can't help it. I part my legs further for him, hitting Garrett's huge thigh under the table. My gaze jerks up to his to see him peering down at me. He's angry, as usual, but I also see a deep hunger there. I want to move away. I should. He doesn't like me or women or to be touched. But he doesn't shift away, and neither do I. My leg presses along his as his brother's hand finally covers my heat. Diesel arrives at the table then, dropping into Kenzo's seat. "Asshole," he mutters, and then looks at me, his eyes lighting up when he takes in my state. "Oh, what are we playing, little bird?" "Yes, little bird, tell him." Kenzo mocks in my ear as he strokes down my slit, up and down, teasing me. Nothing, I sputter, as I reach for my water and take a sip, trying to stop myself from pushing into Kenzo's touch. I've just taken a mouthful when he parts my lips and flicks my clit. Choking on the water, I slam the glass down onto the table, and he laughs in my ear as I sputter out the water and wipe my weeping eyes. This motherfucker. A moan slips from my lips as he does it again, before circling it with his thumb and pressing down, rubbing me. He licks my ears, my eyes dart between Diesel's smirking gaze and Ryder's cold one. They all watch me. I'm the center of attention as Kenzo plays me perfectly. His friend could come back at any moment. Anyone could look up and spot us. The thought only makes me wetter, and he uses my cream to sink a finger into me. Moaning, I bite down on my lip to stop myself from getting louder as I lean back in the booth, opening myself further to him, letting him sink deeper. If you can't beat them, join them. My eyes close as I rest my head against the booth, just feeling him. He curls his finger inside me, stroking me, his thumb still rubbing maddening circles on my clit until I'm so close. Their eyes on my body and the feel of Kenzo pressed against me is too much. "Eyes open, darling. See what you do to them," he murmurs in my ear, and my eyes shoot open. I look at Diesel first, the crazy bastard, who has his cock out. I groan as I watch him circle his length, uncaring about being in public. His trousers are undone, his eyes on me as Kenzo fingers me. My mouth waters at the sight of him. He's thick. So fucking thick, and across his cock is black ink. He got his dick tattooed. It doesn't even surprise me, nor the piercing at the end. He probably got off on it. Except I can't help but wonder what it would feel like inside me, that piercing dragging along my walls. Kenzo adds another finger, making me moan loudly as I unashamedly tilt my hips to meet the thrust of his hand. Look at my brother. See his eyes? They're on fire, melting for you. He tries to fight it, hates that he can't control you or his reaction to you. But look. I follow his bidding and gaze at Ryder. I meet his eyes first and see what Kenzo is talking about. They are melting. A fire wars with ice there as his face tightens. Running my eyes across his body, I note his chest is heaving slightly. His hands are clenched into fists on his thighs, and his trousers are stretched across his hard cock. He wants me. It shocks me, and I groan loudly as Kenzo speeds up his fingers, fucking me for real now. I lose myself in it, in the pleasure coursing through me at being watched, and being in the middle of all these powerful men and making them weak. Putty. Raising my hips, I shamelessly ride his fingers, chasing release as he whispers dirty words in my ear. He bites on my earlobe. I bet if you reach over between Garrett's legs, you'll find him hard too. Swallowing, I glance over at the big guy, who's trying his hardest not to look at me. His face is locked in a scowl, his body tight and leaning away like he can't bear to touch me anymore. His hands, they are balled into fists, the tattoos stretching across his scarred skin, but they are shaking slightly. My gaze slides down his wide chest to his lap, which I can spot just below the table. Kenzo is right. He's hard. Fuck. Kenzo chuckles in my ear. So am I, remembering the way you writhed beneath me, how tight your cunt was around my cock milking me, how fucking beautiful you looked under me. I bet Dee is recalling as well. Ryder? Ryder is imagining it, wishing he was there, wishing he was me, feeling your wet little pussy wrapped around his fingers right now, feeling how close you are to coming from my touch and their eyes. Moans leave my lips unchecked, his dirty words making me hot until I want to tear off my clothes and just mount him like a fucking animal, to ride his dick right here, right now. He groans in my ear like he knows what I'm thinking, his fingers stretching me as he rubs my clit. I want them to see you come, to hear you moan, for everyone in here to know whom you belong to, who brings you pleasure that no one else ever will. Kenzo growls. Panting, I shake my head, trying to fight it, but it's too late. My orgasm surges through me. As it takes hold, my eyes clash with Ryder's, and for a moment, I see the inferno raging in his gaze before my eyelids close, a low scream leaving my lips as I come. Fireworks explode as he fucks me through it, his fingers struggling through my tight channel, his thumb rubbing my oversensitive clit, making a groan leave my lips as I try to pull away. But I'm weak and spent. I slump backwards, panting hard, my eyes flicking open to meet Ryder's again. But he blinks and the ice is back, like I never saw what I thought I saw. Glancing over, heart slamming in my chest, I see Diesel tucking away his softened cock with a napkin balled into his hand. Did he come? Christ. Kenzo chuckles in my ear and I shove him away. He leans back, his fingers pulling free from my soaking pussy with an audible squelch. Clenching my thighs together, I cringe at the wetness coating them. I pant, unable to catch my breath, and my body is still shaking from aftershocks as I watch Kenzo pull his hand out, the one he fucked me with, showing them all my release across his fingers. His eyes meet mine as he raises them to his arrogant mouth and licks them clean. Fuck. I can't take it anymore. I need a moment to regather myself. I feel raw and exposed, and they are still watching me. Can I go clean up? I murmur. No, Ryder snaps. You will sit in your own release, knowing that's only the first of many today, Kenzo grins. Fucking assholes. Just then our food arrives, and I can't meet Red's and the other server's eyes, like he knows what just happened. Shit. Did he wait until I was finished to bring it over? My cheeks stain red at that. How fucking embarrassing, even for me. But then I gather myself. No, fuck that. I refuse to be embarrassed. This is my body. If I wanted to ride all their dicks right here, I would. Swallowing, I raise my head and meet the server's gaze. His cheeks are pink, and as soon as I meet his eyes, he drops his to the table, quickly handing out the food before running away. Red chuckles and follows after him. And they say we're scary. You should see you. It's fucking brilliant. Diesel grins before grabbing his burger and taking a huge bite. I do the same, starving after the day I've had. I don't bother to eat politely. Fuck them. If they wanted a classy bird, they should have kidnapped one. I eat like me, scarfing down my food only the way a kid can, who was always scared they would never have their next meal. When I've eaten as much as I can, I lean back, guilt filling me at the garlic bread I didn't finish. Another thing I learned from starving, eat everything, because you never know when you will eat again. But I can't. I'm too full. I try to tell myself it doesn't matter. I'm not starving anymore, but it's a hard habit to break. Ryder leans over the table and gently presses my chin up, his eyes flickering between mine like he can see my internal war. It's stupid, but panic claws at me. Will he be angry I couldn't eat it all? He softens for a moment. Breathe, he murmurs, before reaching down and plucking the last piece of food from my plate and eating it with his hands, which is unusual for him. When he's done, he meets my gaze and wipes his mouth. And I know. He did it for me. I sit back, beyond shaken from the day. Honestly, there has been too many emotions to handle. I just sit in silence as they finish eating. Glancing over at Garrett, I realize his plate is sitting in front of him untouched. I lean closer. Aren't you hungry? I ask. Not for food, he growls and looks down at me, his eyes dark and his lips tight with lust. I gasp, shivering under that stare. I thought he hated me. Ryder's phone rings then, pulling me from our moment, and I glance away, escaping those eyes. Fuck. What are they doing to me? I can't zone in on Ryder's conversation, but right after, he flags down a waiter. Grab Red for me, he demands. Not 2 minutes later, he's at our table. We have to go. Thank you for the food. What do we owe you? Fuck that. You know I don't accept your fucking money, but I have some information for you. He leans closer then, meeting Ryder's gaze. The men are local thugs, easy to deal with, but there's a bounty on your heads, my friends. He looks to Garrett. People are going to start coming for you. It's a lot of money. I see, Ryder mutters. Not much different from normal, then. You don't understand. They're saying once you're dead, the city will be in new hands. Better hands. They are planning on wiping out the Vipers and taking over. It's all over the streets. My eyes widen at that. Who would be stupid enough to take on the Vipers? They own everything, everyone. They are powerful and fucking terrifying. The Ryder doesn't seem shocked. His eyes do tighten slightly, though, and he nods. Stay safe, Red adds. Go out the back. Then he's gone. Aren't you worried? I question, as soon as he is. Ryder smirks, but it's not a nice one, and it sends fire sparking down my spine. Worried? No. There are always people trying to kill us, to take what we have. When you're at the top, the most powerful, they all want you to fall. We never will. It's just time to show them that again. A little lesson to remind them who this city belongs to. He shrugs and stands, buttoning his jacket before throwing money on the table, ignoring Red's words. Let's get back. We have some things to take care of. Diesel whoops at that. Hell yes, it's time to play. Oh, fuck. I don't like the sound of that. But they all seem excited at the prospect, happy to get their hands bloody. Sometimes I forget they are murderers, killers, and snakes. Sometimes I don't care. Garrett slides from the booth and I slip across his seat. His hand comes out fast and sharp and I flinch. He freezes and offers it to me slower. I follow it up to his face and see the understanding in his eyes. He knows. Accepting it, I let him pull me to my feet and he lets go straight away, but it was a nicety I didn't expect from him. As we leave the restaurant, my eyes catch on a woman and a man leaning close together. Her dark hair is pulled back tightly, and she's smiling. She's beautiful. The guy is blonde and leaning into her, whispering in her ear, and from the grin on her lips, I would say it's something naughty. She catches me staring and nods at me as she stands. Where are you going, brat? The guy calls, and she looks down at him. Bathroom. Want to join? I turn away, smirking to myself. Everyone in this world is a little crazy, so what does that make me? We had no issues on the way home, but Garrett kept making sure we were not being followed. When we got back to the high-rise, there were guards waiting at the entrance to the underground. They double-checked our vehicle for explosives before standing guard behind us as we parked. There were even two new guards at the entrance to the elevator. They stay there, though, as we ride it up to the penthouse. I can feel the tension, the anger in the bodies of the vipers surrounding me, so for once, I stay quiet. As soon as we open the apartment door, I notice all the new guards. There are at least five in here. Shit, what do they expect to happen? They are all big, all burly and terrifying. Their eyes are sharp and their bodies are tense. They are obviously professionals. Stay away from the windows and inside the apartment. We'll be back later, Ryder informs me as he strips off his jacket and heads upstairs. I watch from the bottom as he scans his hand and gets into that locked room. I see rows of guns from down here before it shuts behind him. The others are equally as serious, strapping weapons to their bodies. All apart from Diesel, who is laughing to himself. His frame looks like a walking armory covered in guns and blades. Are they really going to try and kill them all? Four against over 20. Do they have a death wish? Ryder comes back down wearing holsters across his chest and thighs. He looks more like Kenzo now, his face cold and deadly. His body is a weapon. He steps closer to me, and I realize the others are at the door waiting. Behave, love. When do I ever? I smirk. He turns away, but I catch his arm. Aren't you taking any of these guys? Ryder looks over his shoulder at me, his lips turned up into a grin. No, but don't worry, love. We can handle this. Just another day in the life of a viper. There are over 20 of them, I snap. He laughs, actually laughs. But honestly, it's a terrifying sound. Good. They might give us a better fight. They will still lose, but it will be more fun. Turning, he takes my hand and places a kiss on my knuckles. Don't cause too much trouble, and try not to kill any of them. No promises, I retort with a laugh, and then he's walking away. He looks to the guards. She doesn't leave and you don't touch her, he orders, before ripping open the front door. They all glance back at me, and I feel so lost, so suddenly alone without them around me. I have gotten used to their presence, and now they are leaving, maybe to their deaths. Diesel waves at me. See you soon, little bird. I'll bring you back a present. Then they're gone, and I'm alone. Looking around, I spot all the guards watching me. They have orders, but I'm not just sitting here twiddling my thumbs while they're out here. I have to do something, anything. I'm not worried about them, am I? Nah, fuck that. If they die, I will too. That's the only reason I care. Well then, boys, what are we going to do while they're gone? I ask.
22. Diesel. On the way to the warehouse, I strip off my shirt. It's a nice one that I don't want to get blood on. Plus, I love it when it splatters across my chest. I have visions of coming back covered in it to impress my little bird. Ryder is silent, as always, before something goes down. Garrett is angry, his neck cracking and fingers popping as he prepares. Kenzo is also quiet, double and then triple-checking his weapons. We know the odds, and for once, someone might stand a chance. Well, they might think they do. We have been fighting together longer than these punks. We know exactly how to work together. We're unstoppable. And blood will spray before the sun rises. Their blood, from my blades and guns for their insult. We'll remind them exactly why everyone fears us. Maybe we have gone soft recently, so a good massacre ought to take care of that. We stop a block away and get out, locking the car. Ryder has his jacket off, he means business. He palms a gun and looks at me. Roof,
He looks to Kenzo next. Back door. Then he tells Garrett, second floor. I know he glanced over the blueprints on the way here and devised the best plan. He always does. And you, I smirk, knowing exactly what he plans on doing, the crazy bastard. He grins back, a bloodthirsty one. I'm walking through the front fucking door. Ryder may hide behind suits, but he's just as much of an animal as we are, and he's letting himself out of play now. God help them. They thought I was bad, but they haven't seen anything yet. We split up. No other words needed. I slip down the alley with Garrett, both of us heading in the same direction. We circle the building, the water behind us. They have patrols, but they are sloppy. Their cigarettes light up their positions. Their bodies tired and eyes not sharp enough. We slip over the fence and right past them. Dogs bark aware of our presence, but the patrols don't even check it out. Idiots! I nod at Garrett and he presses his hands together. Taking a running jump, I let him boost me up. I grab onto the metal stairs, then drag myself up and over before looking up at the walls of the warehouse. The roof has nothing to grab onto, but there are cracks in the brick. Grinning, I start to climb, using the fissures. I smash my feet and fingers into them, feeling my skin shred and blood slickening them. But the pain only enhances my focus. If anyone looked up right now, they would see me, but they don't. And I swing over the edge and land on silent boots. Crawling across the tiled roof, I find a sunroof about halfway across and wait for the signal. The others will be getting into position now. The warehouse has three levels. There is the bottom floor, which is covered in pallets and crates, and in the middle are some beds and a table. Bottles of beer are spread all over and two open fires burn in cans. The second floor has what looks like offices, the windows dirty and obscured, but light comes from inside. The third floor, just below me, is more of a walkway around the old place with a few men patrolling. All the old machinery must have been moved at some point. What a shame! I was hoping to kill someone with it. I see Garrett slip through a window and crouch on the second floor railing, his shadow blending into the rest, unless you know what you're looking for. Opening the skylight, I get ready, standing above it. This is going to be fun. The back and front doors blow open at the same time, guns firing, and I drop. I land right on a startled man rushing towards the sound of fighting. Slipping my arm around his throat, I lick his face. Boo! I whisper, before snapping his neck and tossing him off the ledge. I spot Garrett fighting two men with knives. He slashes and guts them before throwing them over too. Laughing, I palm my lighter and light up a cigarette just as a man rounds the corner. He freezes when he spots me. Clicking the lighter shut, I smirk at him and blow some smoke his way. Run, little boy, run, I laugh. He hesitates before coming at me with a yell. I dodge his desperate swipes with a blade and kick out. He slams back into the building, almost going over, and with a shout he lunges forward right into my waiting blade. Whistling, I yank it free and tap the bloodied end on his face. Should have run. I grin before kicking him off. His scream drowned out by the gunfire below. Peering over, I watch Ryder move through the mass of firing bodies, walking right through it, unafraid and unaffected. He sees them coming before they even get a shot off and kills them. Calm and unmoved, his gun firing with precision. A fucking killer! Kenzo is laughing at the other end as he rolls behind crates and jumps out at people, shooting them in the face. I spot Garrett slipping into the offices below. There are no more people up here, so I grip the railing and throw myself over. Landing on the second floor, I kick open another office door to clean them with Garrett. A gun fires and I duck. It's a bad, desperate shot. It hits the wood of the doorframe and explodes, splinters slicing me as I growl. Tossing my cigarette at the guy, I land on him in a flurry before he can pull the trigger again. He struggles beneath me, but I'm stronger. I turn the gun in his hands, press it to his chin and push down on his finger, splattering his brains everywhere. My ears ring from the shot, but I get up and leave, kicking the door shut behind me before moving on to the next one. Garrett is just going through the door with me right behind him, and we freeze. There is a naked woman cowering on the bed. She wraps her hands around her knees as she cries. Where? Garrett demands, the scent of sex filling the air. She points at the door in the corner and we grin at each other. I step closer to her. Better leave now, darling. Shit is about to hit the fan for your friends.
She nods and scrambles up, not caring about her clothes, and rushes through the door. Shaking my head, I lean against the door she indicated and knock calmly. Come out, little boy, and play with us, I call. I hear a curse and the fumbling of shells. Rolling my eyes, I wave Garrett on. He pulls back his leg and kicks open the door. It explodes inwards, and then he's in the room, grabbing the naked guy and slamming him into the tiled bathroom wall. He smashes his fist into his face once, twice more, before dropping him in a bloody mess to the floor and looking at me. He's yours, have fun. I'm heading down to see if they need any help. I'll meet you there. I grin before stepping into the man's path as he tries to crawl away. Once I've had my fun with this one. Crouching, I yank his head up by his hair. Hello, mate. Wanna play with me? Garrett laughs as he leaves, knowing the poor bastard will be dead before long. His eyes already sealing shut, his lip is split and his skin is pale and clammy. Fuck you, he yells and spits blood right in my face. I let it drip down me without a care as my lips tug into a smile. No thanks. I have a little bird at home for that, I reply. He goes to spit again, so I grab his chin and force his mouth open. Gripping his tongue, I slice it off with my knife. He screams, spraying blood as I drop his detached muscle to the floor and watch him roll around in agony. He passes out for a moment, so I grab a cup on the side and turn on the tap, filling it before throwing the cold water across his face. He wakes up sputtering, and when he sees me, he makes a moaning noise and tries to crawl between my legs. Stomping on one of his hands until I hear his bones crack, I lean down. You shouldn't have come for me or mine. He whimpers, and big fat tears roll down his face as he looks into my eyes and sees his death. Taking my time, I flip him over and crouch beside him before flicking on my lighter. I press it to his skin, strike it on, and grab his head and burn out his eyes. Now, fun fact, eyes don't just melt. They burst. They pour down his face as I let go, and he grabs his head in a vice, a wailing coming from his throat. Whistling, I pull away my lighter and grab his legs, dragging him from the room. I throw some of the bedding over my shoulder as I go, as an idea comes into my head. Hoisting him up, I wrap bits of the bedding around each wrist before grabbing my knife. No need for theatrics, he can't see me after all. I lean down and press my lips to his ear. This is going to hurt. I slice open his stomach and let the contents come out before kicking him over the railing. Using the bedding, I tie him in place by his arms so he dangles over the railing. Whoever comes here to investigate will see it and word will spread. They will know it's us and they will be scared. His intestines tumble from his stomach and drop down.